Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I am Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we join together, try to figure things out by telling stories, having stories told, telling lies, telling truths, having fun, singing songs, and remembering the reasons for things. Oh, so good to be with you again.
Hey, pass the jam.
Here.
Thanks. Pass the jelly.
Here.
Could you pass the marmalade?
Sure.
Pass the preserves, please.
No problem.
And the confit.
Here you go.
And the chutney.
We're out of chutney.
Great. Well, what do I do with this now?
Eat it.
Without chutney, it'll taste funny.
Morning.
Morning.
You want coffee?
Oh, boy, do I.
Oh, good. We do, too. Make us some, will you?
Why didn't you? Oh, never mind. How'd you guys sleep?
On my arm.
Upright.
And you?
Fitfully. I couldn't quiet my mind.
I have that same problem. With your mind.
Very funny. I just want to get away from it all.
Yeah, your life of doing and accomplishing nothing must get unbearable.
You laugh, but I'm frustrated and ready to just chuck it all and move to an island.
Like in Papillon.
Don't you just want to get away from the world?
And go where? My home planet was destroyed by my evil brother, Ma Alepha Ock.
Ha ha ha, Martian Manhunter. Whenever you try to communicate with me telepathically, I get a burning sensation in my butt.
That's the hemorrhoids. Your Martian name is Buchi.
I'm serious, guys. I've failed. I'm not changing the world. I just want to go somewhere remote and live out the remainder of my days. Listen to this.
Sounds like the newspaper.
Definitely the newspaper. Maybe fire, though.
Martian butt fire.
Cottages for sale on Getaway Island. Beautiful view of the water. Live out your days far from the madding crowd.
You better not.
Oh, man, you ought to rethink that.
Why?
Have you forgotten the reason?
No.
The reason you're here?
The reason you have a radio show?
The reason you can't go anywhere?
Believe me, I remember.
If you forget the reason, you're no better than all the people you're trying to get to change their minds.
That's true, but I get tired.
Oh, poor thing.
I get tired lifting heavy boxes all day and having a guy with a bad wig call me stupid fat guy, but I do it.
Why?
I don't know, man. Oh, so I can live and eat and take care of my developmentally disabled brother and also give a little to his T-ball league.
Yeah, and I get tired of whatever it is I do, but I get up every day and still let it happen to me, because if I didn't, it wouldn't.
And if you don't, who will?
And if you do, who cares?
But if you don't, it means you're forsaking the reason, and that seems really wrong.
Really wrong.
Really, really wrong.
Hang on, I'll get it.
Oh, man, is that the phone I think it is?
Ooh, it's the reason.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Buchi. Great, and you? Fantastic. Yeah, I know. Yep, you know it.
I'm not here.
Same as always. Pretty silly, all right. And funny looking. Oh, okay. Well, let me think a minute. Oh, okay. What kind of bear has no brain and is constipated? Winnie the Can't Poo. You're right. Sorry.
I'm not here.
Yeah, he's right here. It's the reason.
Buchi. Hello?
Hardy White?
Yes?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, of course. Sorry, I wasn't expecting to hear from you.
Really?
I mean, I'm very happy to hear from you.
Good.
I'm just surprised.
I love surprises. You should too, especially parties. Do you like surprise parties?
Sort of. So, to what do I owe this honor of speaking to you?
It's about your mission.
Yes?
Are you finished doing all that I have asked?
Not exactly.
Why not?
Well, it's proving to not be that simple.
It all seems rather simple to me. Make everyone happy.
Okay, you see, it turns out that it's very complicated, in fact. Some of it has been done.
I want everyone to have wonderful things to eat and lovely places to live. You have done that at least, right?
Not exactly.
I especially like the little creatures. What are they called again?
Children. Babies. Yes, I do too.
At least they all have marvellous food to eat and warm, cozy places to sleep.
Oh, I wish that were true.
Why isn't it? You told everyone that it was what I want, have you not?
I have. I've told many people. They don't all listen.
Well, tell everyone on Earth.
That is difficult.
It isn't. Simply tell everyone on Earth that people and creatures must have food and nice places to live and all be happy and safe.
You see, there are a lot of people, and I'm not able to reach them all. They can't all hear me.
You should speak very loudly, perhaps.
Oh, I speak loudly, but I can only talk to a few at a time, and there are literally millions and millions of people. I only reach a small number.
But they do as they are asked, don't they? When they find out, they begin to love one another and take care of each other. It's all very simple.
They don't think it is. They find reasons not to do it.
Then insist, this is your mission.
Again, I tell everyone I can, just like you told me to. I tell them to love one another and take care of each other, to feed each other, and to provide care and shelter.
Exactly, so why isn't it done?
They just find lots of excuses to ignore this or make it all so complicated.
It's not complicated.
I know.
It's very simple.
I know.
I feel I shall become very cross if they do not listen.
I understand that.
Do I need to bring you home? Have you failed, Hearty White?
No. Let me keep trying.
They told me not to send you.
Okay.
Because you're silly.
Yes.
You are very silly. Very, 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 very silly.
I'm silly. I get it.
Very, 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 very silly. But I like silly.
I'm glad.
I thought I'd send someone silly and not very clever to show how simple it is to do what I ask.
And that is a great plan.
What are you standing on to speak with people? Are you shouting from a mountain?
No. I'm using radio.
Radio?
It's hard to explain. I'm not even sure how it works. So it's like a box, and I speak into a little box, and it comes out of other boxes.
That's very silly. No one listens to boxes. Speak from a tall mountain.
I'll try.
Please hurry, though. Again, I want everyone happy and to have delicious food to eat and lovely trees and cozy houses, and everyone should be nice to even tiny creatures, and no one should be afraid or sad ever.
Well, I'm doing my best.
Say something funny.
But that's hard to do on the spot like that.
Make a silly sound like a funny monkey or a fish.
Fish don't really make a sound.
Of course they do. I talk to them every day. Well, then make a monkey sound.
Really?
Do it, or I'll be very cross.
Okay.
You're very silly, Hearty White.
Thank you.
Now get to work.
I will. I appreciate the second chance, and it's always lovely to speak with you.
I imagine it is. Now goodbye.
Goodbye, and thank you.
You are very welcome, Hearty White. Silly Hearty White.
People ask me, Hearty, what do you value above all else? And I would say, my reason. My reason is the reason I do everything. I love to reason. And my reason tells me consequences. It tells me that one thing lead to another. And that's how I figure out what's going to happen. You know, it's not magic. I use my reason. And my reason tells me that we should help one another, that we should love one another, look out for one another, and if we don't, we shall all perish. That's it. Now I'm done. I said I would say that, and now I'm completely done. So, again, recapping, the reason is the reason. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad to have you with me today. I want to do something that I like to call Children's Corner. Now, you think I'm saying maybe Children's Coroner. That would be funny if children had all the adult professions were done by children. There was a children's coroner who said, oh, look at this suspicious exit wound. Let's do a toxicology report on the liver. I'll call the child lawyer. Now, some professions, that's redundant because I know a lot of lawyers and they have a lot of them retained their childish qualities, as have politicians. It's amazing. Maybe not the good ones. the good childish qualities, but this is children's corner. Like when you say, hey, children, go over in that corner. The adults are doing things with blades. Maybe we're swinging around kung fu blades and it's dangerous. But I want to swing kung fu blades. Papa, no, you go sit in a corner with the maid or something. We know when we were young that that would happen. But that became the origin of the children's corner, where you see a lot of at school and everything. Now, if you've ever been in school or kindergarten, you know that feeling of you're just having a good time and eating a snack, and they say, oh, it's time for Mr. Herbert's coming or something, and this old man with a white beard comes with a guitar, and y'all roll your eyes and think, oh, Mr. Herbert, who constantly underestimates our level of sophistication, is here with his guitar. Poor dear. We know what he's doing. He's playing out some kind of fantasy of being a performer, and he's really preying on captive audiences like children and all. But that's not, oh, or he's giving his own time. He's giving of himself to entertain the children and to teach them songs that they'll have to discard as they get older because they're novelty songs. Hello, children. Now, everybody, I want everybody. Now, if you're not going to be quiet, I'm not going to start. There's nothing like being chided. I think a lot of performers should work that into their performance. All right, if you're not going to be crisscross applesauce, everybody, and shh. Otherwise, I'm not going to sing the song you hate. So go, Mr. Herbert. I will. Here we go. Now, when I say something, you say something else. Well, the cow goes on vacation, and the dog goes to the bathroom, and the monkey goes wherever he wants. Yes, the monkey goes wherever he wants, and the fox goes fishing, and the hedgehog goes about his business. And the monkey goes wherever he wants. Yes, the monkey goes wherever he wants. Now, how many of you children all know your ABCs and everything? That's not what you want. The children are yelling for sake. Do something interesting. Have a protest song just for children. Get us out of here. We want free the children. Can't we play in the woods? The children are saying, I saw this YouTube clip of these European children get to go in the woods and use axes and everything. Why am I here playing with this stuffed monkey? But because if you're good, you get to take the stuffed monkey home for a day. Oh, thanks so much. I think we should listen to the children when they say, I hate you, hate you. No, well, I don't know. A lot of times they do know things that we don't know. They have a very simplistic view of the world, and we give them a more complicated one, don't we? Say, no, you kids, you don't really understand what's going on. Well, explain it to me. Well, it's more complicated than you think. See, I could give you food, but ultimately I'd be harming you. See, they don't buy that. I think that's what we do. We make things more complicated as we get older. Hey, Hardy, your voice sounds funny. Only because I've been up all night throwing up. So I had some sort of, I don't know whether it was the flu or maybe a rival, some kind of rival clan tried to poison me or something like that. I don't really know what happened. But I was up all night very, very monstrously ill. Oh, it was horrible. Just think, you think, oh, this will relieve it here if I regurgitate my guts out. And yet, I felt horrible still. And so I don't know what I had exactly, but I did feel helpless. And I was thinking, oh, I've got to record a show, though. How is this going to affect that? I thought, well, it's telling me something. It's given me a wonderful insight into what it feels like to want to die. Because, you have those prayers. I think that's why prayers aren't immediately answered. Because some of them are like, please take me, kill me now. You don't want that. So, all right. No. Just wait. You pray the wrong thing. It should be just make the nausea go away or whatever. Stop it. So I don't know exactly what was wrong, but I was helpless. I was feeling very helpless. And so when you're feeling helpless, you need help, don't you? And you forget when you go about your day that I don't need anybody. I need no man, said Odysseus or something like that. And Cyclops, or is it Cyclopes, said Hey, no man, you're confusing me because of my one eye. Or something like that. A lot of time, I should have read things a little more carefully. I like to teach, and I find that I'm not really dissuaded by a lack of knowledge. I feel like, well, maybe I should wait till I know something before I teach it. No, no, no. Just get it right out there. Get it out now. That's how I felt like last night. A lot of times we'll use regurgitating as a metaphor. So you're not learning that. You're just regurgitating it. Exactly. I'm not learning this vomit. I'm just getting it out. I don't even know why. I guess because if it's a virus, I don't know why the virus doesn't want to live together in peace and harmony with that mandarin orange and that piece of celery and I don't know what else, crackers. Oh, bless me. I don't know what was going on last night. It was awful. And now I feel like, whew, very tired, you know, very beat down, but also very thankful because it's one of those things where it's all comparison, right? Oh, I was feeling so bad, and now I feel not as bad, and I'm going to call that feeling excellent. But it's not necessarily that, isn't it? It's just comparison. I have to tell, I still feel very warm, though. So I don't know. I might interrupt a lot of times. Maybe play some cartoons or something as I recover, because I'm not feeling. I was going to say I'm not feeling myself. How do you know? It's radio. I could be, but I'm not feeling normal. You know, again, that's. You're right, Hardy. You're not. I'm not. Oh, what do I want to say exactly? What is normal? What is right? You know, a lot of you do have chronic pain and everything, and you just have to go on with it. So why should I complain? Well, one of the reasons is because I've had so much stomach acid in my throat that I can barely speak to you. And that discourages me a little bit. So I possibly will speak to you in other ways. Maybe through music, through clapping my hands. I'm doing that with my hands as well. I really am. Isn't that interesting? You can make music in so many ways. A lot of it isn't really good music. Let's make that clear. But you can express yourself in all sorts of ways. I was expressing myself last night. Oh, I was learning to sing from the diaphragm. Like that. And, oh my gosh, I'm still a little traumatized by it, to be honest. It was rough. But when we are helpless like that, we realize, oh, we all need to be taken care of. Sometimes we don't realize it until it's too late. We don't realize it until we are helpless, that we need help. It's very simple to children. Children are tiny and always need help. And they can say, yes, it's the right thing to help me. I'm tiny and helpless. And as you get older, see, the problem is, I think it's eye size. This is how it was explained to me by Stephen Jay Gould. It wasn't explained to me exclusively by him. He was also speaking to other people in the form of writing one of his books. Although I did see him speak in person at Oxford Books in Atlanta back in the day before he died. A lot of people saw him speak afterwards. I have too, but this is one of the pre-death speeches. But I believe it was in one of his books. And he said, you know, it's about one of the reasons Mickey Mouse has his eyes got bigger. How about that? He evolved. His eyes got bigger and more childlike. And that's it. Those big eyes remind us of helpless children. And the beady your eyes are, your eyes are tiny, then no humans will like you or something like that. But that's how we identify children sometimes. So look at their big, vulnerable eyes. And why is that? Because something could get in there. Look how big those eyes are. Some flies could get in there or something could poke them. So we need to be a sort of protective goggles, some sort of steampunk protective goggles for the eyes of the children. Because what gets into a children's eyes could stay in there. Oh, you're all the time, you're role modeling. What is that? That's a little like role playing, but it's just with costumes. Is that cosplay? It's all very complicated. But it's what you show, you tell, you show and tell. You go to show and tell, you go to the children's corner, and you're giving them, so I'm here to deliver my values. Oh, your values are boring music and things like that. Are you underestimating us as children? Oh, we know so much more. But the one main thing we know is that we need to be taken care of. And that if you want us to survive, you must take care of us. And as we get older and our eyes get smaller, they're not literally getting smaller, our heads are getting bigger or something like that. Although I've seen some childs with some giant heads. Some of you have huge melons, like the size of watermelons almost. Look at that big head. People come in all different sizes. Some of you have giant heads. I'm not talking anything wrong with you. Just the natural variation of skull size. Some of you have very diminutive heads that look like a mandarin orange. And other ones of you have a big old melon like a cage ball on your shoulders. Look at you. Oh, people come in all different shapes and sizes, don't they? When I was I think I was in graduate school and watching Gumby, there are these things called the blockheads. And they had heads that were cubes. All right? And I assume because the claymation sculptor was like, I'm tired. I'm just going to make cube head people because I don't want to have to flatten them out into another Gumby or something like that. And, Gumby, whatever happened to you?
I'm still here.
Oh, you bless you. Look at you. I had a Gumby when I was a posable Gumby doll when I was a child. And what happened is it was rubber with some kind of wire armature inside, and the wire poked out eventually. So Gumby is like his spine. Did you ever see one of those violent movies with his, oh, whoops, your spine's poking out of you because you got your neck broken by a kung fu man? And that's what happened to my Gumby, except it was wires like a coat. Oh, look, his coat hanger spine is coming poking out of his neck. That Gumby's no good anymore. No, he isn't. You can't pose him anymore. And then I don't know what happened. I guess maybe my mom threw it out. She goes, you can't have this. This is going to poke you in one of your giant children eyes and would protect me like that. Now, if you are well-loved, you're well-protected, then you know love. If you know love, then you've known it, and maybe you can pass it on. So if you were taken care of, maybe you should take care of others. It's so simple to children, and it's so complicated to adults find so many reasons not to take care of their fellow man. Nobody deserves it, you say. Oh, they don't deserve it. Why? They made a mistake. Look at them. Well, it looks like that person is living in squalor in the dirt. And but look, they're getting off easy by not having a job as a lawyer. But that's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that you're in a mansion, and that person's wallowing in filth, and you're still begrudging them a meal or shelter because you think they've done something wrong or something. Well, they have. I've made choices. I've chose to be born into this wealthy family or whatever. Good for you. I've chose to be born into the people that do the oppressing instead of the oppressor. Oh, I didn't know this was a choice. I thought we were all born. Oh, and I have news for you. I don't mean to blow it or anything, but you're going to have to live one of those lives maybe. I don't want to give too much away, but I'm just saying, if you think you're going to get away without having to ever be dependent, or you're going to somehow get away with without having to pay the price of your selfishness or everything, oh, I'm so sorry. But I'll be here to catch you. I will catch you. Hardy will catch you, and I'll put you in a hammock, and I will sing to you. Oh, is that going to one of your free songs? I've noticed that, too. If something is free, it's considered worthless, isn't it? So maybe that's why compassion or love are not valued, because they're free. And if it's free, then maybe it doesn't fit into our the way we do things, because people don't like free things because they seem to be worthless. How can that be? You know, one of the easiest things to grow are radishes. I remember when I was a kid, we'd grow radishes, and they grow really fast, and you got a vegetable. You don't have to worry about it. It's not something like cucumbers. We have to go out there and march around with a little bayonet and fight any of the giant caterpillars that are trying to eat it. But nobody wants your radish. And so a radish will go unmolested by most pests, and you can have your radishes and get all you want, and they're almost free that way. You know, you just got a little plot of land, and then nobody values them. And they're good. I know they're a little hot, but y'all like hot things, right? I've seen on signs say, come on, get our super hot, inedible potato crisps or something. These, you'll eat these and your lips will feel like you're drinking Drano. Awesome. Extreme. Anything that comes with pain, I'll pay for. I guess being sick has made me think about being a child again, and all the times I was sick as a child, and I can think of some of the ones that were profoundly affecting to me. A lot of them happened, some of them happened at school. I remember one time I was doing a three-legged race day or something. It was one of those days you don't really have school, your mom comes out and everybody dresses like a cowboy and you do three-legged races and everything. And I remember I had one of those cowboy costumes that doesn't look like you're an actual cowboy. It looks like you're some kind of fancy circus cowboy. You know what I mean? Like you're Tom Mix. One of those I had chaps on and everything. It was way too complicated. And I remember looking so good and then ultimately throwing up into my hat. And, you know, I thought about that day for a long time. I've mentioned this before, that I found my grandmother's diaries years later. And she mentioned that day. And she said, oh, Hardy was sick today and they shot Robert Kennedy. Like that same sentence. I go, wow, yeah, he had a much worse day than I did. All I did was puke in my hat. So, you know, it's all relative. But as children, oh my goodness, you know, the most important thing to you is that period. Another time I remember is I was sick in bed, and it was, I guess I had a high fever. And I was looking at the ceiling, and it was that one of those popcorn ceilings. You know what I mean? That has a, for some reason, the blown-on textured ceiling. That looks like if you touch it, you'd bleed. I don't know why that was popular. But I was looking at it, and I was very sick, and I had a fever, I guess. And I started hallucinating that the ceiling was like a little dancing around there, and there were little people going, it was really kind of horrifying. I don't know, David Lynch was directing my fever dream. And I remember that a lot. So I think it was just comes down to being helpless. Oh, children understand that. And I guess sometimes when we grow up, we think we have more control than we do, and we forget that we're helpless. And maybe that's why we lose our compassion a little bit, because we think, oh, I don't need anybody's help. I've just got me. But children, all sorts of games we play with them, remind them of that. Like, you remember the game we played in school, Duck, Duck, God? Do you remember that? Where you'd go around, you go, duck, 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 God. And when you do say that, that person has superpowers and can chase you. And if they catch you, you're banished. You're virtually dead and you're not in the game anymore. That one sticks in my mind as leaving a real impression on me. Say, wow, that's, you know, you just go along being a duck and anything could happen. Superhero movies let you know about that. That you got. I had to take a sip of water because, like I said, I'm getting over being very, very ill. So ill, I shouldn't have done, I got to confess, I'm still sick. I shouldn't have done the show. I should have done some sort of best of or had somebody fill in for me. But I'm telling you, I just don't like to miss a day speaking with you. Because even in my illness, I think I've got something to say that comes out of that. You know, and like I said, some people are never not ill. What about them? When are they going to wait to do it? So if they can do it, I can do it. And I wanted to talk about children, and nothing reminded me more of being a child than this incident. I did not have my grandmother, was not there to rub Vicks vapor rub on my chest, which doesn't do anything, to give me concentrated orange juice. She would get orange juice in the little round frozen thing. We don't still have that, do we? But you'd get concentrated orange juice, and she'd just give me that. And it was like a sort of extra acidic sherbet. I'm not sure why she did that. Here, this will burn your stomach up. Thank you, Granny. What else? Have some Coke syrup. She likes things that are concentrated. If you dilute them, they're no good. I don't really understand why that, but it seemed to help. And I think it was just, you know, the appearances. And to this day, I remember that. Children also have an interesting take on morality, because you tell them once and they believe you what you tell them when they're children about what's right and wrong and things like that. The Bible says that if you're going down the street and you see your neighbor's ass, you can't unsee it. Oh, that's true. The internet tells us that too. But what does that mean? That means like if you see somebody, it doesn't have to be their ass. It could be some lost article of clothing, like their coat or their sweater, their cardigan or their zip-up cardigan or something like that, or their hat, their cowboy hat that has vomit in it. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And if you do, you're making excuses and you have to lie. So if you see somebody's lost item, you have an obligation to return it to them. Once you see something is wrong, how can you possibly pretend it's not? So that's why I say when you see somebody who needs help, or you see somebody who needs food, or you see somebody who's down on their luck or something like that, you have to really do some mental gymnicon, or what was that martial art? Gymnasticon, to be able to get out of seeing what's right. Say, oh, yeah, look at that guy maybe starving there, but didn't he bring it on himself? Well, maybe brought it on himself. Maybe you've somehow brought it on too. I don't understand why we're so selfish with help. I guess because it requires you to self-examine, to know something about yourself, or to maybe see your own weakness and realize that you're not as powerful as you think you are. A lot of big, tough guys have that trouble. I'm sorry, I got to take a sip of water. I know it's terrible. And I usually don't. And I have for years, it's like, Hardy, you can talk without ever drinking or anything like that. I know. But now I have to admit that sometimes I do need to stop and take a sip of water, because like I said, I've been sick. And right now, oh my goodness, I'm still feeling it. I'm feeling that big, the thumb of stomach flu. I guess that's what it is. I don't know. I could have been, like I said, poisoned by an enemy. I don't remember that happening. Boy, my mom would take care of me too. She'd say, hey, you want your rectal temperature taken? No. Then get better. That's how it would work. So, okay, that works. I remember one time I had anti-nausea suppositories. What's a suppository? It's where they bring old books. Let's just put it that way. No, it's if you can't take medicine in your mouth, they put it somewhere else, because that makes sense, right? Say, oh, if I'm throwing up, then throwing up medicine won't do any good. Taking it in orally. So it was a lot of humiliation with being a child, too. And I guess we forget that as well. We like to put all that behind us. I was never weak, you might say. I was never helpless. I never required compassion of others. Every single person walking the earth today was a little baby, except clone man. Even he was a little baby, clone man. Everybody was a baby. And you know, whoever got you to adulthood might not have even done a good job. But somebody at some point cared enough to take some pity on you. And believe me, when you're an infant, you're shiftless. I've seen these babies, they don't do any work. None of them do any work. I had a dream near daytime, and I was sitting there with children in a restaurant. And the mama comes, and the mama's got an even younger baby, swaddled up into swaddling. And he's fast asleep. And all the children next to me are being loud and making noise, just raucous, fun kid noise. And the mama says, he's still asleep, and I listen to what he's listening to on the earbuds, and it's, in New York, you will inspire me, like that. I'm going, well, first of all, baby's wearing earbuds. It was a dream, you know. But I thought, oh, that's a good dream. That's right in the theme of what I'm talking about. And that is, remember that you were once a child. And like I said, even if somebody didn't do a good job taking care of you, you still must have gotten taken care of a little bit somewhere, or you wouldn't be here. Because those infants, really, if you leave them at the side of the road, they're doomed. With the exception of Moses, who got stuck in a basket. But then somebody did find Moses, pulled him out, said, I found a baby in the bulrushes just floating down the stream. Merrily, merrily, merrily. Nowadays, they would have put him on a party barge or something like that. I was out there on the Kentucky River, and I seen a baby. It was a crawling and a creeping on a party barge. And I went and I got him, and it turned out to be the Prince of Egypt, Moses. And I looked at him, I took the swaddling clothes off, and I went, oh, Prince of Egypt is Jewish, I can tell by his physiognomy. And so I brought him into the palace, and then the Bible, you know the rest. Or do you don't, actually. Nobody reads it. Nobody reads any of their holy books. Why? Because they might see something in there that they got to do, and they don't want to do that. They'd rather just go to, preacher, the other day I was told that it was required on me to help my neighbor.
Was it? Who's your neighbor?
Is that Johnson woman.
Oh, she's awful.
Yeah, so I don't have to help her.
No, sir, don't help the Johnson woman.
All right. Good, because I was afraid I do.
No, where'd you get that idea?
So a lot of times like that, we want to get out of helping or get out of being compassionate. We want to unsee our neighbor's ass, but you can't. Once you see it, the reality of it is in there. Oh, your reason. What is the reason? What is the reason? What is the reason, Hardy White? What is the reason? The reason is when you know that this thing is going to have an effect. The reason is if I curse you out, you might go and curse someone else's out. That's the reason. That's the reason I do things. What's the reason you get up in the morning? The reason I get up in the morning is because I know if I don't, I won't experience anything. The reason I go on the radio is the reason I might help somebody. Why help somebody? You know, I can make being good sound selfish. Is that what you need? Because I could do that for you if you need that. Because I'm telling you, it's better to live in a place where you can get a hand if you get sick, then where people just say, you're on your own. You don't want that. You don't want that. No matter how strong you think you are, no matter how invincible you think you are, you need me. Maybe not me, Hardy White, but somebody like me. And you can look out on others with great condescension and superiority, and you can look out on people who have no home, and you can make all sorts of excuses and say they got there because of their choices. But you know, choices are only about a little bit percentage of it. Sometimes we get places because of stuff, consequences, other people's actions. Who knows? You're not 100% responsible for your success, and you're not 100% responsible for your failure. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but look at you. You're a biological creature, and you're not even a unique one. You're just another person. And there's so many people, and there's been so many people. And if you don't believe me, you drive by that big cemetery in Queens or something and say, man, that's a lot of folk. Yep, because there's been a lot of New Yorkers. There's been countless amount of New Yorkers, and some of them are just buried in mass graves. There's been so many people. Some of them have been forgotten. There's been so many people. And someone's going to forget you. Guess what? Guess what the reason told me? Reason tells me a lot of things. Reason tells me there's been mass extinctions on Earth. Reason tells me that when I close my eyes. And then you know what reason told me? Reason told me we're probably going to be gone too, idiots. Nothing lasts forever. Guess what does last forever, though? My voice. Because it's going out into space, 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 space. So everything, unless you've been on radio or TV, you don't get to be eternal. I'm sorry. I know that's rough for some people, but I have a podcast. Bless your heart. But listen, if your voice has ever been on radio or TV, you are out there in the cosmos. And at least that will last. And my voice is out there a lot, and I think somebody might pretend to be Hardy White in billions of years. That would be interesting to me. But we're all going to be gone. I'm so sorry. And you, personally, are going to be gone soon. Because the human lifespan is very short. And as a time traveler, I've witnessed it over and over again. I have to witness this loss. I got to make sense of it constantly. I have to make sense that there aren't going to be any people or creatures. I have to make sense that some of them now are starving or in pain. I have to make sense of all that and still go on and still be silly. How do I do it? I do it because of reason. The reason. Reason. The reason. You need to think about things. You need to understand consequences. And that one thing leads to another. But you also have to understand that one thing has led to another. The reasons that you are here. Why am I here? I can tell you right back to the one thing that started it all. What was the one thing that started it all? 10,000 things, as the Chinese say. I'm sorry about this. I feel like I'm not really better. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Can we take a cartoon break? When I was a child, one of my favorite things to do was to listen to story records. And I've done this on the show before. You know, my favorite story record I've played before, I'll probably play it again, Blue Bluty. Y'all remember that? Yeah, it's from a few weeks ago. It was months ago, but thank you. But this is, I've played something from this record before, and it keeps changing every time I play it. But it's Jim the Boy. And Jim the Boy goes on adventures, mainly on pirate ships, and then he gets off, and then he goes back on the ship and everything like that. And yet he stays a boy, because the great thing about Jim the Boy is he doesn't know what he can't do, and people watch out for him. So let's just listen to a quick episode of Jim the Boy. I'm going to go take massive amounts of medicine, and I'll be right back.
I have a tale to tell you all, the tale of a good young boy. Sometimes the boy lives on a ship, other times in an inn. Often he goes sailing with pirates who are bad. But the boy is good and the winds do blow and other things transpire.
Ah, there she is, the Rosemary. She's a fine frigate. Well, she's a Pawlaker, and her name is the Mary Richards. But you're the captain. Indeed, Mr. Scrubs, indeed. Now all we need is a crew, and a mission, and financing, and the wonderful billowing things. Sails, yes, Squire, those are helpful. I'm sure we can borrow some from these other sailing lads here, and before you know it, we'll be in the Caribbean, picking up sugar and coffee and rum and coconuts, and disease, and haunting memories of unspeakable sins. Looking forward to it. Squire Lee Haney. Well, hello, Jim, my boy. What do you think of my new ship?
She's a beauty. It's a Pawlaker.
Well, it's a frigate, boy. But you'll learn. Oh, we're doomed.
Take me with you, Squire.
Jim, my boy, a sailing ship is no place for a young lad.
That said, we're going to need about a half dozen young lads and 20 toothless alcoholics just to get this out of the harbor.
You get yourself back to the Admiral Inn, boy. Your parents will be worried about you.
My parents are dead, Squire. Don't you remember? Killed by pirates. Now I run the inn and serve the pirates rum.
Oh, of course. My mind is already at sea. We're all going to perish, aren't we? Well, there's lots to do before we sail, so run along to your parents. Someday, when you're grown, then maybe you'll have a ship of your own.
But I'm old enough to go to sea.
Believe me, boy, you don't want to come.
Listen to Mr. Scrubs. He's an experienced sailor.
Well, I'm a tailor, actually, but that seems close enough for this trip.
I'll never get to have any adventures. I guess I'll just head back to the inn and scrape the blood off the tables.
You should let the boy come, Squire. He's a smart one, and we'll need strong, smart hands.
Long ago, I promised his parents I wouldn't let anything happen to them and the boy, and so far, I've kept my promise. I'm not going to risk their lives now.
This is the end of old Scrubby, isn't it, Lord?
Well, I guess it's back to this dirty old inn as usual.
Rum!
Bring me rum. Bring me rum. I need rum.
Yes, sir.
It's rum I be needin'. And hurry.
Yes, sir. Here.
More. More rum. I want all the rum. I'm cursed, boy.
Cursed?
Yes, cursed. By the black spot.
It's probably just not enough citrus.
No! I crossed the wrong man, lad. The wrong man, you see? And now he sent his dog after me. The blind Pooh.
The blind Pooh?
That scurvy mate. I dare not say the name of the one-headed man.
The one-headed man?
Aye! He has but one head.
Well, don't we all have one head?
Don't ye talk back to me, boy. Not that kind of head. On his ship. Just the one head. With a line so long that a scurvy salt such as I must wait, legs crossed and shivering for weeks to drop our cargo.
Be careful with that rum.
Ah, more. I have nothing to lose. I'm doomed with the black spot and the blind Pooh and the one-headed man and cirrhosis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where are your parents?
Oh, they're dead.
Of the plague?
No, pirates.
Pirates, you say? There's no such thing, lad. What they are devils. Sea devils.
Is that you, Ben?
He's here. Be quiet. Don't betray me.
There's no one here, sir, but I.
And who be I?
I'm Jim, the boy. The owner of the Admiral Inn Boy Inn.
The Admiral Inn Boy Inn Boy?
Yes, sir.
Sir, ye calls me. Calls old blind Pooh, sir, he does. Well, I may be blind, but I smells a rat.
Well, there's lots of rats here, sir.
I smells a giant rat, soaked in rum and fear.
No giant rats here, sir.
A rat with a black spot.
No, sir.
Well, if ye see such a scurvy creature, you calls her old blind Pooh.
Yes, sir, I will.
Good. He's gone. Good lad. Now bring us more rum.
But you drank all the rum.
Curses! Arrgh!
Sir? Oh, he's dead. Oh, great. And the dead pirate bin is full. That's it. I'm leaving this and going to sea, even if I have to hide on Squire Lee Haney's ship.
Oh, I hope that Jim the boy is okay. I know he's going to climb into some kind of barrel of rotten apples, and who knows what's in there. He could get eaten by worms, and we all will eventually be eaten by worms, except those of us who were buried in a metal casket, and then we'll just putrefy like an old head of lettuce in the crisper. Just turn to water. You don't want that. Hey, get one of those styrofoam caskets or something that breaks down. That's not a good one. Get one made of peat. Who's Pete? Oh, he's a good friend of mine. He's going to have himself made into a casket when he died. No, Pete, like they used to smoke Scott's whiskey. Scott's whiskey? Yeah, Scott. He likes bourbon. No, Scotch, I guess as they call it. I'm so used to the people. Is Scott's whiskey made of actual Scots? Tastes like it, doesn't it? The medicinal ones, bless their hearts. Some of the Scots are smoky because they've been warming themselves by a fire made of peat. There you are again with your friend Pete. They get them from a peat bog, where they also get bog mummies. Have you ever seen that? I love mummies. You know that. They come in all sorts of forms. One is a bog mummy. If people are thrown into or fall into a bog, it's an anaerobic atmosphere. What's an anaerobic atmosphere? Like a weightlifting gym. The kind of exercise that doesn't require, as opposed to aerobic exercise. It requires no oxygen. That's why you walk into a gym and you go, oh, God, stifling in here. What is this? Odor. You can become a mummy. And there's one thing I haven't seen are gym mummies, right? Could you imagine that? Say, man, that guy on the pec fly machine, he's been there a long time. And he's not doing any reps. Oh, he's a mummy. I wonder what machine you're most likely to be a mummy on. Probably one of those that you sit down. Should weightlifting machines, you shouldn't even sit down. It's too comfortable. I'm just going to rest here and do some reps. No, you should be hanging by your teeth or something like that. That would be good. You'd have to do it like a faker and have, you know, hang by needles from your chest flesh or something. That would make it impressive. But mummies, bog mummies, what are the kind of mummies? TV mummies, you know, if you forget about a person, a lot of people are forgotten. You know, grannies and all. And she goes, you check on granny? No, she'll be fine. Fast forward 20 years, she's sitting in front of the TV watching Lawrence Welk, who's still inexplicably on, and now she's become mummified. And I've seen an exhibit of mummies. You look at the hands of the dead, and you think, wow, we're so fragile. And yet, here's 1,000 years later, I'm looking at the hands of the dead, but generally pretty fragile. The life part, at least. The shell can last a little longer, bless it. But the life in it, oh my goodness. I just want you to know that you are fragile, you're breakable, I know you are. That's why I send out my love and try to help in my feeble, feeble little uneducated way. When I was in the Weeblos, and I'm not afraid to say it, I was in the Weeblos, I got a lot of pity for some reason from scoutmasters and everything. They go, this child is fatherless. I'm not fatherless like Jesus, but generally I was, you know, single parent home, and they think, well, that's tragic. No, I'm doing good, actually. Mom is fantastic. Works too hard, but great. Very loved, very taken care of. My grandma's there too. We're good. But they still pitied me. So one of the scoutmasters found out I like to collect rocks. And he said, I found out you like to collect rocks. And I was like, oh, okay. He said, well, I want you to do a presentation. Come on in, bring your rocks and talk to the group. Now, I think he assumed that I knew what my rocks were, that this one was ignomamus or this one was pyrite or something like that. But I didn't know anything about them. I collected rocks because I thought they were interesting rocks. I didn't know one from the other. I just like to say, hey, isn't this neat looking? That's what I do on my show. So when they did put me on the radio, I thought, uh-oh, are they going to make me know what it is? That this rock is stalagmite or something? But I don't know. All I can do is hold it up and go, isn't this neat? Look at this one, isn't this neat? And then you can find a reason using your reason. Oh, we all have our own reasons. We all have our own reason. Try to use it. And mine calls me sometimes and says, why haven't you done what I sent you to do? And I say, well, I'm trying very hard. And I know that I have helped some people, but wouldn't it be nice to change the whole world? Wouldn't it be nice if one day everybody did wake up and said, yes, it makes sense. It's that simple. You've been told, oh man, what is good, to love justice, to help other people out. Oh my good, there's somebody that needs you. There's somebody you can help. I don't understand this being mean for mean's sake. It's never made any sense to me. Does it make you feel more powerful? Oh, friend, if you're in government and you're listening right now, I'm not. I know, but if you're listening, but I'm not. But if you are, and you're, say, like you have power over others, but I'm not listening. All right, dang it. See, this is a problem. I've got to tell you that you have been told, and the consequences are waiting for you. And I'm sorry if they're going to be negative. But you've been told, I don't want you to do anything out of fear. Oh, I want you to do it out of love. But gosh, there are consequences for things. I know that sometimes people do something bad, something they're ashamed of, maybe commit a crime even, and they go to prison because there's consequences. Now, they may have a change of heart. Oh, and I don't mind forgiving. Oh, I'd love to forgive you, and I would forgive you. Especially if the crime was against me, I might say, you know what, I understand. You've been through a lot of junk, and I think if I was through that same thing, I might lose my mind. I might be cruel. I have cruelty in me. I know I do. I make all sorts of misjudgments. I have selfishness in me. I know I do. And if I wanted redemption, I would hope that somebody would forgive me. But I know I won't get out of consequences. I know that things will still have consequences. They can be mitigated by redemption. I can reduce them somewhat. But I know that when I do these things, that they have effects. If I throw that pebble in that pond, there's going to be ripples, you know? And you might forgive me for throwing your pebble from your rock collection into the pond, never to see it again. But there's still going to be ripples. And Hardy White is just trying to tell you about the things that happen, about the things that happen because of the reasons and the reason. Oh, I hope you're listening to me and change your hearts. I hope that you soften them, just like my head. My heart is soft, I think, because my head is soft. I'm a big marshmallow head, just like in that movie with there's a giant marshmallow. He's evil. I'm not. And I'm not, I don't think I'm Trafe. So if you wanted to eat me, I think I'd, well, probably have things in me you can't eat. I don't know, like horse hooves or something. But I might not. I might be completely edible. And I want you to gobble it all up. And maybe you will feel your heart lighten like a balloon. Like an air balloon in some story meant for children. Some adventure where some eccentric character goes up in a hot air balloon and he travels the world. Oh, I tell you, don't we love those stories? Like Roald Gold, is that his name? That's what I forget is how to say it. But he wrote this story about this little boy, James and the Giant's Head, and where he finds a friendly giant. And he goes and he lives in his head. And in his head, he meets all these worms that are in the giant's brain. And the giant's head goes rolling off into the ocean. And where he meets brain worm and brain maggot and maggot brain, which is one of the Funkadelic members and everything. And, oh, he has such adventures because he's... What the story means is that you use your imagination, that you use your brain and your reason to create a wonderful world, that you create this place out of what you're given. I don't know why we're here. Who knows? But you can create a reason through reasons. And that sounds like a tautological thingy. And it may be. I don't know much about philosophy. Don't know much about history. Don't know much about geography, geonomy, phlebotomy, you know, phrenology. Never studied those very much. But I do know this. I do know that kindness can be contagious, just like this thing I have may be contagious. I'm glad that we're not together. And I'm going back to my sick bed after this. I'm going to crawl right back in. And I think maybe the throwing up is done, I'm hoping. That was really, boy, I shed some pounds, though. I wasn't trying to. But I want to thank you so much for being with me, my friends. You bless my life so much. And I hope that I've given you something back today a little bit. And I'd like to thank my friend, The Reason, for calling me on the phone and reminding me what's important and reminding me that children sometimes know and we have to face them. And we're going to have to face their questions. And we have to face the questions of our own inner child. Why have you done this? Why aren't you fixing the world? Why? Why isn't everyone eating? Why isn't everyone sheltered? Why? Why? You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in beautiful Rockland County, where miracles will happen any second, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you, my friends, and I will see you again next week.